You know, when I was a kid, you know, growing up, although sometimes Kathy wonders if, you know. So let's just say when I was a kid, trying to grow up, man, I tell you, I guess I was like a lot of you. And I believed in the Tooth Fairy, and I believed in the Easter Bunny, and I believed in Santa Claus, and life was great. No, I thought it was. But you know how it goes. That day comes when somebody sits you down and they just tell you the truth. They have the talk with you. And, you know, that can be difficult. I remember, for me, you know, here I'm believing in the Tooth Fairy and Easter Bunny and Santa Claus, especially Santa Claus. And that day came when, you know, I had to talk. And I'm telling you, I was absolutely devastated. I was crying. I couldn't believe it. I thought Kathy was lying to me. She said, "Jim, straighten up. We've been married for 10 years. It's time you know the truth." Well, I've pretty much gotten over that. But there are a lot of things about Christmas that can be, you know, kind of confusing. For one, you know, who is Round John Virgin? Round John Virgin, mother, and who is this guy? And then I'd like to know, where is Orientar? I looked on the map and I couldn't find it. We three kings of Orientar. Where is Orientar? Never could find it. And then, you know, you've heard of the Everly Brothers, right? And you've heard of the Righteous Brothers. I mean, who's going to listen to the Unrighteous Brothers, right? The Everly Brothers, what were their names? Phil and Don. And then the Righteous Brothers, what were their names? Bobby and Bill, right? Okay, so Phil and Don were the Everly Brothers, and Bobby and Bill were the Righteous Brothers. Who are the Angel Brothers? Who are these guys? Mark and Harold? Mark and Harold, angels sing glory to... Who are these Angel Brothers? And not only that, but I want to know, has anybody yet found that reindeer that ran over Grandma? Christmas can be kind of confusing. But one thing that's not confusing is the fact that you can't take Christ out of Christmas.
Right.
It's impossible. You know, people want to say, well, you know, we want to call it the holiday season. Go ahead, call it the holiday season. Well, we want to call it this, and we don't. They don't want to talk about Jesus. Well, I'm sorry, but you can't have Christmas without Christ. Because you can't even spell it without Christ. And every time, you know, Merry Christmas, I don't care where it is. There it is, Christ. Christ. So they can try what they want, but it's not going away. Christmas, even though Jesus actually was not born on December 25th, Christmas is all about Jesus. And there's just no way you're going to get around that. There's just no way that you can separate Christ from Christmas. Every time you say Merry Christmas, you're speaking a blessing into somebody's life. And you know, when we understand the power of our words, you know, Jesus was talking about, if you believe in your heart, you don't doubt the things you say, you can have what you say. Well, if I believe and I don't doubt, then doesn't that really mean that when I look at somebody and I say Merry Christmas, I am believing, let me just say it like this, that the merriness of Christmas will touch their life? Am I not speaking a blessing into their life and they don't even know it? It's easy to just say Merry Christmas and it be something we say. But if we look at it a little bit differently, and every time that we say that to somebody, we are speaking something of Christ into that person's life, doesn't it take on a whole new meaning? Sure it does. Yeah, if they don't want to say it back to me, that's okay. But that's my sneaky way of speaking God into your life. You know, just find some old sourpuss people. Just look at them and say, Merry Christmas. Even if they say bah humbug, just say, that's all right, Merry Christmas. I done spoke it. Nothing you can do about it. Go ahead and look in Luke chapter 1. I hope none of you are sitting out there humming that song. Grandma got run over by... Luke chapter 1. You weren't? Yeah, well, thanks a lot, Brother Martin. In Luke chapter 1, look here in verse 26. And in the sixth month, this is the sixth month of Martha, Mary's cousins. Elizabeth. Sorry. Wrong parable. Wrong story. It was Elizabeth, Mary's cousin. It was the sixth month of her pregnancy. It says, well, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel... Now, this to me... When I read this, it speaks volumes to me. Here's what I mean. The angel says, You're going to conceive. You're going to give birth to a son. Call his name Jesus. He'll be great, Son of the Highest. God's going to give to him the throne of his father David. He'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there will be no end. She does not question any of that. It's almost like she's saying, okay, but how is it going to happen since I'm still a virgin? She's not questioning that she could give birth to the Son of God. She's just asking, how will this happen since I'm a virgin? This to me gives us some insight into the heart of Mary. She's at a place to where she is willing. She didn't say, well, what are people going to think about me giving birth and I'm not even, you know, married? Me getting pregnant and I'm not even married. What are people going to say about me? You know, what's going to happen to me? No, none of that is in here. All she asks is, how's it going to happen? Because I'm a virgin. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, She hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Again, there's no question about, well, will there be provision for me? How am I going to raise this kid? You know, what if Joseph doesn't want me? What, I'm a single mom. I mean, what would I do? Will God be there for me in all of this? Am I going to have a rough pregnancy? Is it going to be horribly painful when I give birth? She doesn't ask any of this. None of it. She just says, okay, I'm a virgin. How's this going to be? He says, well, the power of God's going to move upon you. The Holy Ghost is going to release the power of God. You're going to become pregnant with God's Son. She said, well, okay. Be it unto me according to your word. Could we not learn from this? We read the word of God, and as Christians, so many want to fuss and argue about, well, now healing's not for today. Whatever happened to be it unto me according to your word? So here's Mary and this incredible story about the birth, well, about the conception and so forth of the birth of Jesus. But now jump ahead, chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping their watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, not just the Jews. I wonder if the shepherds caught on to that one. To all people, for unto you is born... Unto you who? Unto you who? All people. All people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And then, you know, the rest of the story. The angels left and the shepherds go to see what was happening. They found Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus. This is what Christmas is all about. This right here, this story, everything we've seen, this is the reason for the Christmas celebrations. It's why we have Christmas parties. A lot of people, you know, take it in a weird direction, get drunk and all that. But, I mean, this is why. The whole concept of Christian celebrations take place. Here's Mary. And the angel shows up and delivers to her God's intentions. And she says, well, how will this be? And he says, well, the Holy Ghost is going to move upon you with the power of God. You're going to conceive and give birth to the Son of God. And she says, okay. She accepted his word. And she said, be it unto me. And then 9 months later, she gives birth. And these angels show up to the shepherds. And I just, man, I'm telling you, there are some things in Scripture that I read that I hope God has a video of and will show it to us when we get to heaven. I mean, for all we know, he might have a video of the entire Bible and just show the whole thing to us once we get there. Answer a lot of questions, won't it? But even so, my goodness, I tell you, I just... These shepherds, and here's an angel. The angel says, here's what's going on, fellas. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. These shepherds are seeing this. All of this. Can you imagine what those angels were singing? They're praising God. You know, glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. I believe verse 14 is just a synopsis of everything they were singing and everything that they were praising. It's like, well, what were they saying? Well, here, I'll give you an example. They were saying things like, glory to God in the highest, and, you know, on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. They're praising God, worshiping God. Do you think those angels were in any way, shape, or form going through the motions? Or do you think that there was genuine joy within those angels? Do you believe that they were demonstrating what was going on inside of them, that they were seeing something manifest and take place that God had prophesied a long time ago? And they know that it's just a matter of time before God's word comes to pass. So they, like humanity, have been waiting all this time, their concept of time being different from ours, but they have been waiting all this time, then here it is, the day has come. Now, I don't know about you, but I kind of think that maybe once Mary said, "Be it unto me according to your word," you know, Gabriel looks at her and says, "That is all I needed." And he's gone. Now, you can have your own imaginations, your own thoughts about this, but in my mind, I'm thinking, there he is at the throne of God. God? He couldn't call God Father, because angels weren't birthed of God. They were created. Okay. Little technicality there. God. She said yes. God says, "I know." Holy Ghost. Get to it. And I can just see Gabriel going all over heaven. Guys, she agreed to it. Everybody, she agreed. So now here all the angels are. They're just waiting, you know. How much longer? Oh, about 3 more months. How much longer? About another month. How much longer? 3 days. How much longer? Well, anyway, here's the day. She goes into labor. And this angel that showed up in front of the shepherds, I mean, might have been Gabriel, not really sure. But let's just imagine it was Gabriel. You know, he had the honor of going and speaking to Mary, and now God says, "Okay, now go tell the shepherds." "Yeah, yes, sir." So he goes down. He's telling the shepherds. But all the word had gone out to all of heaven. He's been born. He's been born. He's been born. He's here. The Son of God has been born in the earth. And I can just see those angels, man, on their way to Bethlehem. And Gabriel makes this announcement, and all of a sudden those angels appear, and they start singing and praising, rejoicing. I can't see that there was anything but happiness and joy for them in that moment. And as they were, and the thing is, they weren't singing about themselves. They were singing about God's will being done and what had been given unto humanity. Isn't that incredible? Glory to God in the highest and to you people. Peace, goodwill. The Father's plan of salvation for you. Well, you don't understand it. But it's good. We can tell. So we have all these parties and these celebrations honoring the birth of Jesus and this whole thing that we've just seen here in Scripture. But that's not really the true Christmas celebration. Not as far as God's concerned. Let me show you something. Look in Titus. Titus. And I want you to read something here and think about what we read concerning what Gabriel said to Mary. In Titus chapter 3, look at verse 4. "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, what was it Gabriel said to Mary was going to happen? When she asked him, how are these things going to be? Because, you know, I haven't known a man. I'm a virgin. And he said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of Almighty God shall overshadow you, and you will conceive and give birth, and that which you give birth to shall be called the Son of God. And now, look at this. The Holy Ghost moves upon us with the power of Almighty God. And there is a washing of regeneration and a renewing, meaning a making something new by the Holy Ghost, so that, verse 7 says, we should be made heirs. How can you be an heir unless you are a child? Now look over in 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5, it says in verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Everyone, no matter who you are, good news to all people. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, not that Jesus Christ is alive, but Jesus is the Christ, meaning He is the Redeemer, the hope of salvation, your only way for eternal life. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, then you know what? That makes you born of God. That is exactly what that angel was telling Mary, that what she was going to give birth to would be, you know, born through her of God. Born of God. And that this child would be called the Son of God. Now look over in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 16, the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, beareth witness with our spirit that we are what? The children of God. In other words, what we're seeing is a representation here in these verses, many other verses we could have looked at, but we are seeing literally a parallel of what happened with Mary and the birth of Jesus. That angel shows up and says, listen, you want to know how this is going to happen? Well, the power of God by the administration of the Holy Spirit is going to move upon you. Now, when this happens, you are going to conceive the life of God in your womb and eventually give birth, and that is that child that is born is going to be the Son of God. It wasn't until Mary said, be it unto me according to your word, that this took place. Now here we are today, and we hear the gospel preached unto us. Jesus loves you, died for you. Jesus is the Christ. He is your hope of salvation. You know, however it was presented to us, we heard it. And let me just use what we've heard so far today. We ask a question, but I am such a lousy, rotten sinner. How can this be? And if Gabriel was standing there in front of us, he would say, the power of Almighty God will come upon you. The blood of Jesus Christ will wash you of all of your sins. And the Holy Ghost will move upon you with this washing of regeneration. And behold, all things shall be made new in you. Then it's up to us to what? Say, be it unto me according to your word. That if your heart believes and your mouth confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, be unto me according to your word. And at that moment, the Holy Ghost moves upon us and another birth takes place. And that which is born is the child of Almighty God. Now look over in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. We like to have our parties and we like to celebrate, and there's nothing wrong with that. Man, enjoy it. Enjoy it. Celebrate the birth of Jesus. But that is not the true Christmas celebration. Let me read this to you. In Luke chapter 15, verse 1, "Then drew near unto him," Jesus, "all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." We might not have been a publican, but we were a sinner. "And the Pharisees and scribes murmured." Remember what happened to the children of Israel when they murmured? "The Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, 'This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them.' And he spake this parable unto them, saying, 'What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost.'" Now look at this. "Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." The day that Jesus was born, the angels came down and they began rejoicing. The Son of God has been born. Glory to God in the highest. That was that Christmas. But the true Christmas celebration takes place every time one sinner repents. Because it says in here that there is joy in the presence of the angels. It doesn't say the angels are rejoicing. It says there is joy in the presence of the angels. When one sinner repents, the person who's doing all of the rejoicing is Almighty God, because another son has been born into His family. That is the true Christmas celebration. We celebrate what happened 2,000 years ago, but every single moment of every single day that a sinner calls upon the name of Jesus, there is another Christmas celebration going on in heaven, because Christ has been born in the heart of a sinner. And he's been washed clean, made new, and no longer is he that sinner. He is the child of Almighty God. Praise God. We think we have fun. Can you imagine what it's like every time God gets a new child? There is joy in the presence of the angels. God is the one who's partying. Praise God. You know, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ in the world, but God celebrates the birth of Christ in us. You don't think there are decorations in heaven? Give me a break. We hang artificial gold-looking stuff on trees. His streets are made of gold. We have to turn on the electricity to get the lights to shine. But the Lamb is the light of heaven. He is the energy source. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, heaven's a fun place. You see, when Jesus came to earth, when he was born, everything that we read here a little bit ago, God has given the world a reason to celebrate. But the question is, have you given God a reason to celebrate? Those of you that are here, and those of you that are watching this, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God loves you. But this joy that we just read about has never taken place in heaven over you. You may be planning a big Christmas celebration. I don't know. You may be planning parties, and maybe you're going to one tonight. I don't know. And you know what? That's okay. Every time you say Merry Christmas to somebody, you're reminding yourself about the Christ of Christmas. And you're celebrating the birth of God's Son. I know in some of these parties, the celebration isn't exactly what it should be. But we're celebrating the birth of God's Son. God wants to celebrate the birth of another child. And that's you. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is the day that you can say, "Be it unto me according to thy word." This is the day that you can say yes to the word of God, just like Mary did. Jesus was formed in her. God's life can be formed in you. Mary gave birth to Jesus, the Son of God. God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wants to give you a second birth. Jesus talked about this in John chapter 3, that you must be born again. God loves you, and He's glad that you're acknowledging this time of year as being a time of celebration for the birth of Jesus Christ. But there's so much more that He wants to do for you. I firmly believe that God likes it when we bless our friends and family members with presents. We just do it because we want to. But God wants to bless you with the greatest gift of all, the gift of salvation. And until you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that salvation does not live in you. But this is an opportunity for you. An opportunity for you to have the greatest Christmas of all. While you're celebrating the birth of Jesus, God will be celebrating your birth. Hallelujah. And there will be joy in the presence of angels because you have called upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Right now, wherever you are, those of you here, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believe me, it is the greatest decision you could ever make. God will change your life. Not the way that the world describes change, but He'll change your life in a way that cannot be fully explained by the world. And He will give you eternal life. The kind of life that will take you through all eternity with Him. If you want to have this life that He's offering, if you want to have the forgiveness of all your sins, receive that forgiveness that He is offering. Right now is your opportunity. And I'm going to lead in a prayer. And as I lead in this prayer to accept Jesus as Savior, any of you here that have never accepted Him, I encourage you to think about this and pray this prayer. And those of you watching, you pray this prayer if you've never accepted Him to receive this life He is offering. And as a form of support for you, the folks here in the church, they're going to pray right along because they care about you and they want to see this change take place in your life. So just pray this prayer, repeat it after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I cannot change myself. In this I have no hope. But You are my hope. Right now, Jesus, I ask You into my life. Cleanse away all of my sin. Remove that old sin nature from me. And give to me the born-again life. The very life and character and nature of God Himself. And I ask You to fill me with the Holy Spirit. I receive You, Holy Spirit, and ask You to give to me all of Your precious gifts that You want me to receive. I receive them from You. And from this day forward, I ask You to help me to live every day of my life for Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.